So the big question is this: what would you do if money didn't matter? Say you had millions in your bank account, what would you focus on? Would you spend more time with your family, with your wife, with your kids, take family vacations? Would you pursue your gifts and talents and dreams, serve your local community, teach others, serve your church community? You see, if what you would do if money didn't matter is pursue your gifts and talents and dreams to serve others, then that is probably what you should be doing. The problem is, most people are in the rat race, living 5 inches in front of their face with no time to pursue what they were born to do. That is the problem, and the solution is to develop enough passive income to replace your working income so you can quit your job and be free to live your life the way you were created to. That is the solution, and this podcast will show you how. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another awesome episode of Cashflow Dad Life. I am your host, Ryan Ank, and today we're going to be talking about the 4-punch knockout to funding real estate deals. So talking about, you know, I just want to kind of compare it to fighting a little bit. One of my guilty pleasures is, like watching MMA. I just love watching the art form of fighting. And when I was a kid, the first fight that I got in was, I don't know, I guess I was around 10 or 11 years old. And any of you 80s kids out there, Super Soakers were pretty big for a while, at least where I lived. So there was a Super Soaker 100, then they came out with the 200, then the 300, and it's just like these big water guns. And we, as opposed to many, many kids this day and age, man, that makes me feel old saying that, but we would always play outside. We're always outside playing sports, neighborhood kids, and we had our little posse of neighborhood kids that, you know, lived in the houses around us, and then there was another posse of neighborhood kids around the block, like these little mini suburban gangs, you know. And so we're outside with Super Soakers, and this other posse of kids comes by on their bikes. And they're saying, you know, they're talking trash or whatever, but it's all in fun. We're all kids. We're just having a good time, you know. And so I squirt one with my Super Soaker, and he gets off his bike, and he walks over, and he says, "Whoa, is that a Super Soaker 200? And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Can I see it?" And I said, "Sure." And I gave it to him, and then he smashed it on the ground. And he goes, "You want to fight?" And I was like, really ticked off that he broke my Super Soaker. But I was like remembering my parents' words to me, like, "No, if anybody ever asks you to fight, just turn and walk away. Use your words." And I was like, "I don't think we need a fight. You know, you can just go and I'll go." He's like, "Well, I'm not going to go." And I was like, "All right, well, I'll go." So I turn around. And as I turn around, he sucker punches me in the back of the head. And so I turn back around and he goes, "Now do you want to fight?" And I was like, "Yeah, I do, actually." So we all went into the lawn across the street, and all the neighborhood kids are around in a circle, and he's bouncing back and forth. He's like, "Look, I know karate, you know, I just got to warn you." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever. I've got brothers that I wrestle and fight all the time." So I really didn't, you know, I was angry with him, but I really didn't feel like punching him in the face just yet. Maybe as the fight progressed, maybe he would hit me somewhere that would anger me. Maybe that would cause me to punch him in the face. But I was like, I just don't know how to end this. Maybe I wrestle with him, or I don't know what I do. So he's bouncing back and forth like he knows karate. And so I was like, I'm just going to make the first move. I'm not going to punch him in the face. I'm going to try to punch him in the arm. So I take my window and I do this like lightning strike where I swing and try to hit him as hard as I can in the arm, except I completely miss his arm, and I end up punching him square in the throat, which caused him to drop immediately. Made me look like a badass, but it was completely unintentional. Just punched the kid square in the throat. He dropped. Fight was over. And that was my first fight. And so what did I learn from that? Did I learn to use my words? Did I learn, you know, to talk things out or to walk away? No, I learned that there is a 1-punch knockout that you can use, and it's a throat punch. So every time, if I were to get in a fight, I would just log that in the back of my head, like, okay, here's a strategy I can use. It's a throat punch. So the other day, my second grader comes up, and he basically tells me, like, there's this kid in the neighborhood that's bullying him. Now, first of all, I think that the word bully is thrown around by way too many parents and kids these days, because there's this, you know, big anti-bullying push, which is awesome, which is great. But the problem is, like, kids are starting to interpret that just because another kid doesn't make them feel good, that that's being a bully, which is not always the case. Like sometimes if you're an older kid and you've got an older kid game going on, you feel like telling a little kid, no, I don't want to play with you right now. No, we've already got four. You would make the teams uneven. You know, that's not bullying. That's just, you know, sometimes kids just don't make you feel good. It's not being a bully. It's just maybe they don't want to play with you. Go play with someone who wants to play with you. Anyways, side point. So he comes and he's like, yeah, there's this... this kid is bullying me. I'm like, well, what happened? Well, you know, he pushed me and I fell. I was like, well, what are you going to do? He's like, I mean, should I just use my words? I was like, no, what you should do is you should just go up to him and punch him in the neck. You know, that's the knockout punch. So I won't tell you what happened after because nothing has happened yet. But maybe as that progresses, we'll see how it goes. But the point that I want to make is a lot of people, when they're getting started with real estate, they only think that there's one knockout punch and they can't use it, and that it's bank financing. So what I want to give you guys is if you want to pursue real estate, but you feel like you don't have the funds, or you don't have the money, or you don't have good credit, or you don't have enough cash in the bank, I want to give you guys some four knockout punches that take away that excuse, all right? So the first thing, obviously, first way to fund real estate is just through bank financing, okay? This depends on your W-2 income, or it depends on your, and it depends on your credit, and it depends on your established relationship with the bank. You know, sometimes it depends on your existing portfolio. So, you know, if that is a great way to start. So maybe you've got some cash, you can leverage that cash against the bank. I don't encourage you to use your cash or spend your cash, but you could use that with the bank to get financing, and that's typically the lower interest rates is through bank financing. But even if you are a seasoned investor, even if you've got a portfolio of 20, 30 properties, at a certain point, the bank is gonna wanna tap you out. They're gonna say, all right, you've got multiple indebtedness, you've got too many loans out, and that's just way past our comfort zone to lend somebody that much money. So what do? At that point, you're just getting good at it, right? You know, if you've got four, five, six properties under your belt and the bank taps you out, you're like, all right, well, you know, maybe you need to move on to some other credit sources or some other ways of funding cash so you don't have to stop your real estate investing activity. So another way to do it is micro lines of credit. So this doesn't depend on your cash. This depends on your credit score and then your business credit score. So not even your personal credit score. Even if you've got bad credit, you can set up a business, set up an LLC, and start doing things to establish business credit, like getting an account at Sam's or Sears, you know, different credit lines that you can get for an LLC. And that will help you start developing business credit, and you can start getting micro lines of credit, 0% interest, where you are able to get enough of those to buy your first property in all cash, okay? So that is another knockout punch that will help you get started in funding your first investment property. Now, the third thing is, say, you know, you're tapped out on microcredit lines, you tapped out on bank financing, okay? Or maybe you don't even really have a good credit score. Maybe you don't have any of your own cash. Well, you can go what's called the private money lending route. So this depends on either the relationship with that person. Maybe it's Aunt Edna, or maybe it's a doctor friend, dentist friend, or somebody in your network, or a friend that you grew up with, somebody that knows you. Or it depends on the deal. But if they know you and they like you and they trust you, and you've got a good deal, a good investment for them, then they will lend you money, not based off of your credit score, not based off your personal finances, not based off of your W-2, but they will lend you money based off of the deal that you have at hand and your relationship with them. And sometimes they'll just, that you don't have to have a relationship. Sometimes they'll lend you money just on the deal. But the more they know you, like you, and trust you, the lower the interest rate is going to be. So it's better if you've got a relationship and a deal at the same time. And that is the private money lending route, okay? And then the fourth and last thing, which really pretty much takes away everybody's excuse not to buy their first real estate investment property, the fourth knockout punch that works every time, the neck punch, so to speak, is creative and owner financing. Creative and owner financing doesn't depend on your tax returns, doesn't depend on the money in your bank account, doesn't depend on your W-2s, doesn't depend on your credit score. Creative and owner financing depends on the motivation of the seller and that's it. If you've got a motivated seller, you can get them to become the bank to you, okay? So those are your four knockout punches. There's no excuse not to buy real estate, no excuse not to continue to buy real estate if the banks tap you out. You've got bank financing, you've got microcredit lines, you've got private money lenders, and if all else fails, you've got creative and owner financing. So those are your four punches, guys. Go out there and start snapping necks and cashing checks. Boom! Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You're going to want to listen to every episode as soon as it comes out because each episode has in it an idea or a strategy that can literally change your life. And listen, don't miss out on the free investor tools that I have for you on my website, cashflowdadlife.com. So go to cashflowdadlife.com and get your free swag. And listen, hit me up if you want to talk about how we can get you out of the rat race as soon as possible. Until next time, my name is Ryan Ank, and this was Cashflow Dad Life.